Morning, Corey.
How are you going?
Yeah, very well, mate. Nice to have you on the show. What's the vibe in Brisbane ahead of Magic Round?
Oh, it's carnival-like, to be fair. It's been one of those anticipated rounds that we've been speaking about for, well, over a year now, because obviously last year wasn't to be, for obvious reasons. But the weather's turned it on. It's a great vibe. The place is starting to buzz around Brisbane, and kicks off this afternoon. So it should be a good one.
Yeah, I think everyone's looking forward to it, Corey. It's obviously, Brisbane know they can hold events, and they've shown that in the past. And, you know, they're expecting 40,000 people through the gates Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So that's terrific for everyone up there in Brisbane. Big story, though, in the last couple of days has been the signing of Adam Reynolds for the Brisbane Broncos. I know you're a legend of that club. What are your thoughts on the decision to sign him?
Yeah, look, I mean, Kevy had full control over, you know, the recruitment and who he wanted to fit for that team. He obviously feels that Adam Reynolds is that guy. Time will tell, won't it, in regards to how he fits in. He's only ever played at one club, that being obviously the South Sydney Rabbitohs. He's won a comp there. But to come up to Brisbane with a young team around him, there's going to be a bit of pressure. And I heard, you know, quote-unquote from Adam Reynolds saying yesterday that he likes a challenge, and it will be a challenge. If everyone thinks that Adam Reynolds is going to turn up in Brisbane and he's going to be the saviour, it just won't be the case. Now, Adam Reynolds has the attributes to execute a game plan, but he needs some good players around him. So for mine, I think the cards aren't yet finished shuffling in regards to some recruitment. And you look at Adam Reynolds' game, he's well complimented over the years by the likes of Cody Walker. And previous to that, when he won a comp, it was Luke Keary. Throw in Greg Inglis and a couple other superstars around him, Latrell Mitchell. Big challenge. But for Kevin Walters, certainly gone out there and he's found somebody that he believes can go and do the job.
Corey, how do you see the Bronx at the moment? It's been a tough couple of years. There's been a lot of changes, whether it's been players, staff, you obviously being that one club player. How do you see the club's position, and are you positive looking forward over the next few years?
Oh, if I'm being honest, mate, over the last few years, it's been quite heart-wrenching, some really disappointing scenes, to be fair. I mean, Brisbane are one of these clubs in the NRL, and no disrespect to others, that just don't go through rebuilding phases, that just don't go on the bottom of on the ladder. They just don't do these sorts of things. And now we're talking on, you hear people give summation of Brisbane's game, saying, oh, that was a better effort, that was sort of good stuff, and like they're accepting that. It's a team and a club and a town that doesn't accept mediocrity. However, the reality of where we're at is exactly that. So they've made some changes. They've put some new coaching staff in. Kevy's now making some changes in regards to his playing roster. But the last few years, it's been really difficult to watch and see how things have unfolded. But there has been some positives come out of it. I mean, it's all not doom and gloom, but you look at some of the individuals that have come out, or the younger guys that have come through that system. Yes, we've lost a few of them as well. That's been a byproduct of also where the team has been at. The Broncos, there's some clarity in regards to where they're at and where they're going.
Yeah, we all know the changes around the staff, Corey, and you've had a lot to do with Wayne Bennett, and Wayne Bennett's off contract at the end of this season with the Rabbitohs, and he hasn't made a decision on what his future looks like. Would you be supportive of Wayne coming back to the Broncos in some capacity?
Oh, Loz, I would be. I just don't know if there was too many fractures before he left, if they were able to be mended on the way back. And if Wayne was to come back, what role would he play? Would he be a coaching director to an already head coach? So would Kevy want somebody to coach him that's over the top of him? I'm just not sure how it all unfold, to be fair. I mean, absolutely, Wayne's got an ability to, lure players from other places. And we've seen that. So maybe that's one ploy that he could do. But I just don't know how it would work. I mean, put yourself in the shoes of a head coach and then having somebody look over you. I just don't know if that's the right option. And second to that, I just don't know if there's been enough. They'd have to break some bread to get Wayne back. There's, you know, plenty of things fractured in that area. So we'll wait and see. But there's an announced new team to be coming to somewhere Brisbane, and Wayne's obviously going to be at the forefront of that too. So he's a smart man, Wayne. He put his name out there nice and early, and there could be an opportunity for him anywhere.
Well, Corey, I think the thing when you look at Brisbane now is the distinct lack of leadership. Young Jake Turpin gets a crack tonight due to injury and suspension with Alex Glenn out as well. Now, that's vastly different to the Broncos side that you came into back in, 2001. Tell us what it was like as a young player coming into that system and the leadership that was around the club at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a contrast, isn't it? And take nothing away from the individuals. You know, that's been dealt with. They've got Jake Turpin to him. Pat Carrigan, the same thing. But captaincy of the Broncos, in my opinion, having had the role, was one of the most special and honourable things you could do. And coming in when I was a young kid, you know, I was fortunate enough. I played alongside Kevy. I played alongside Gordon. I played alongside Alfie and Shane Webke, some of the legends of the game. And at the time, they were legends of where I was. So when I walked in there, it was just, I was in awe. And obviously, that's been eroded over time. And to see where the club's at now, again, you know, the players that are in the positions they're at the moment, no, not due to their fault. But, you know, there's certainly been a lack of leadership in that area. You know, I mean, over the last sort of 4 or 5 years, myself, Sam Thaiday, Justin Hodges, Adam Blair, a few of these older guys that have, you know, played at the club over a period of time have moved on, and that happens. But it just hasn't sort of been able to be where it was, and it's been well documented in that area. So, yeah.
Corey, can I ask, mate, you are one of these players that when I watched and... you had a very successful career, but the thing that stood out for me with your career was that you actually got better as you got older. Can you tell me and run me through how that happens, why you were able to stay at the top for so long, but not only stay at the top, get better and better?
Yeah, Lods, I think, mate, one of the things, there was a real sort of definitive point in my career that I had to make some choices. Now, the choices I wanted to make was how can I go to the next step? How can I be better? And for me, it was all about fitness. So I needed to be lighter. I needed to be fitter. The game, you know, you make better decisions when you're fitter than other people. It's a transition game. So when someone's tired, I'd be able to go at them, etc. But off the back of that, I always had an ability for an offload. And I still think the offload is one of the greatest assets in the game. It disjoints a defensive line. So I sort of really brought that into my sort of repertoire. And off the back of that, you know, when you're going for a hit-up, for example, and people think you're going to offload, well, then there's the opportunity to run, and then you bring a pass in. So there's all these sort of different areas that created different sort of scenarios for the defensive line. It was just a maturity thing as well. You know, they say sort of middle forwards generally get their best footy around 26 up to, you know, 30, and for me it was a little bit longer than that. But, yeah, the definitive point in my career was making a decision to get a lot fitter. And off the back of that, some good things happened. But, it was a hell of a ride. It was a ride that, you know, all you do now, and that's all we do as ex-players now, is you look back and you reminisce and you talk about things. But it was a good time.
Yeah, you talk about that era that you played in, Corey. You played with some amazing players. Who was the toughest player that you played with or against?
Yeah, I always get asked this question, and for me, the answer is very much the same. It falls into toughest, smartest, best, whichever way you want to put it. And for me, it's Cameron Smith. You know, tough to people is different things. Like, tough could be playing with a broken arm. Tough could be doing, you know, beating your chest and being tough in that regard. But Cameron Smith, the play where he played in the middle of the field for 80 minutes, week after week, game after game, year after year, like, that's toughness. So that's mental toughness, that's physical toughness, and still having the ability and influence to change a game at the drop of a hat. I don't think I've ever seen it. I mean, I've played alongside him in rep games at the highest point when games are in the balance, and you can just see, you know, off the back of what he's able to do, you know, the influence and what comes from the, you know, at the end of that, and generally in our over our time anyway, along with some other, you know, pretty skillful individuals, we come up with some success. But yeah, that's toughness to me.
Now, Corey, you were a part of that wonderful Queensland side, which won 8 in a row. But, mate, can you tell us what it was like to run out in a team that had Billy Slater, Cameron Smith, Jonathan Thurston, Cooper Cronk, or Darren Lockyer as your half 5'8"? I mean, that must have been just mind-blowing for everyone involved.
Yeah, it was. It was mind-blowing, and I should ask you the question, what was it like to coach against them?
Yeah, no, not great. Yeah, rub it in. Go on.
Yeah. To be fair, the best thing about that is we're all around the same age, and we all come through juniors together, and we're all great mates. And at the end of the day, we were going out there playing a game of football that nobody, and this is no disrespect to any New South Welshman out there, but at the time, no one cared who got the accolade, providing we went out there and got the job done. We knew there was some stability around what we were doing, providing we went out there and we worked hard for each other. You didn't want to let your mate down. They were sort of the catalyst of what we were doing. But the reality was we went out there and we just had fun. And no one, you know, no one cared who, you know, statistically you hear a lot of things over Origin, who ran over 100 metres or who did this and who did that. We just sort of, you know, we unified in what we did. And you know, it was just like one big family. It was a hell of a ride. It was a hell of a team. Some of those players you just mentioned, they'll go down to some of the Origin greats.
I just think they were a magic team. And I've said on our program before, Corey, I don't know whether you had the same feeling, but when the Raiders were up and about, and I looked around the dressing shed and I went, oh, there's Steve Wallace, there's Mal Meninga, there's Bradley Clyde, there's Ricky Stewart. You think to yourself, well, you know what, boys? If everyone does their job today and we play our best, we're not going to get beat.
Yeah, that's 100%. And that's how we sort of felt. However, what people don't think, don't remember, and I'm sure you do, Loz, is, well, you know, you look down through the history books and you say, oh, Queensland won eight series in a row. But then if you actually dissect some of those series and you go to moments or you go to, you know, one-point wins here and there, like field goal or a moment in time, if it just went a little bit different, the whole scenario would have been different. That's it. That's Origin. You go back to the question before about toughness and players making, you know, decisions on the run and under pressure. You know, we had some of the great decision makers in the game in our team at that point in time as well. So that certainly played its part. But more importantly, knowing your job and executing your job was certainly the key.
Well, Corey, there's certainly no contrast quite like winning and losing a grand final, and you did both throughout your career. Tell us about the ecstasy of 2006 and the absolute heartbreak of losing in Golden Point to the Cowboys in 2015.
Geez, you wouldn't believe it. I just got goosebumps then. Look, I mean, 06 was, you know, winning a grand final, first and foremost, they're so hard to get into. And then to win is special. For myself, it took 7 years for us to win, for me to win my first, and then it took another 9 or 10 years to get back into one. So the ecstasy of winning in 06 was, you know, you look back now and you go, yeah, that was a highlight of my career. But I'd also look at that one in 15, and whilst we lost that game, it was one of the most, I think it'll go down as one of the best grand finals ever. Just the way it all panned out and you know, the lead up to it. And just whilst playing it, just got a sense and a feeling that, you know, if we could just hang on enough. And, you know, we're under the pump. There were some definitive moments in that game. I think the Ben Hunt, I think it was Kyle Linnett that he sort of put in a spear tackle. They got a penalty and they marched him downfield. Then we're under the pump for a period of time there. We're just kicking from inside our own 30. We're just hanging on. And that's certainly how it felt in the game. You're just hanging on. Anthony Milford come up with a great strip, but then Cole Felt stripped the back off him. So there was a number of moments in that grand final, and then obviously right in the dying seconds, you know, Cole Felt's try in the corner, which, you watch how it unfolded and you just see, geez, you know, you talk about people and individuals and players, you know, coming up with sort of great plays, and that was certainly one of them. But it was crazy. It was a crazy game. Jonathan Thurston took 6 minutes to kick a goal. It felt that long. Like, what player in the NRL gets an age to kick a goal? I mean, the stage was set. Apparently, Jonathan Thurston was supposed to win that grand final. He ended up doing that. But then, you know, in the extra time when Ben Hunt, when Cole Felt put the kick up and Ben Hunt dropped it, at that point, I still thought we're a chance here. We were about 6 metres offside from the scrum. First, they got a poor pass. It sort of got a bit more hope that maybe we'll get through this set. And then James Tarmo had a really good run. First, they got a ball, and it was the ugliest drop kick you've ever seen. And it went over, and that was sort of the day. But it was a great... and I said after the game, people come up and interview straight away. I said, if you've never watched a game of rugby league and that's your first rugby league game you've seen, well, it's a great advertisement for the game. However, the result, it was one of those points in time, it just aches.
It was such a great rivalry, and it continues to this day. I mean, the Cowboys and the Broncos aren't, headline acts in terms of what they're doing on the field at the moment. But even last weekend, the game that they played, it was one of the better games of the year. What is it between the two clubs that brings the best out in you?
Well, it's exactly that. It's the fact that you've lost a grand final or you've won a grand final against the club. And whilst, it was big brother, little brother for a long period of time there with the Cowboys and Broncos, but leading into that 15 grand final, there was some ding-dong battles. And then post that, there was extra time and golden points and et cetera. And everything goes out the window when you come up against each other. And it's, you talk about emotion and playing with emotion. Some weeks you just got more emotion than other, and certainly in those games, it was the case. Now, you look at Broncos and Melbourne, that stems back to 06. Like, that's a burn that Melbourne have had over the Broncos since 06. They were supposed to win that grand final. Post that, I think they've beaten Brisbane nearly every time. Like, it's an incredible run of wins from that 06 grand final. But, it's just one of those... I mean, that's why rivalry is so great, right? But certainly losing a grand final stems that.
Well, Corey, it's been great to touch on your career this morning. And look, enjoy Magic Round this weekend. And thanks so much for talking to us.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate it.